What is really first in your life? Many have learned to live with contradiction. How do you spell first? I mean, really. But, you know, the Bible gives us an answer. If we turn over to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, we have the biblical answer to this. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the things that will be added to you in context are the necessities of life. That's what he's talking about. But notice he says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The key to true happiness is in full-hearted service to the Lord. When we try to negotiate with God, we as a consequence become unfulfilled. But we can find purpose by looking at the end of life. If we look at every day as doomsday, we can learn the importance of life. If you look at Romans chapter 13 with me for a moment, chapter 13, look at verse 11. Paul says, do this, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Have we thought about death? Have we thought about being ready to die? Well, let's see. I already got past that. There we go. How do we determine our priorities in this life? Well, you know, in an emergency, we bring priorities to the front. We've had emergencies happen in this area with the wildfires that were burning last year and the people tragically lost their homes. But we see this in Acts chapter 27 also. In Acts 27, look down verse 18. Paul says that we were exceedingly tempest-tossed. And that was whenever he was on the ship being taken to Rome. Tempest-tossed, and the next day they lightened the ship. And on the third day, they threw the ship's tackle overboard. What were their priorities? Their priority was survival. And so they made whatever accommodation could possibly be made. We notice that in situations like this, we must plan quickly. But think about this. How much time do I have? What must be saved first? In other words, what am I going to put priorities on? How do we choose each day? We all, in fact, are living in a burning house. Did you ever stop to think about that? We live in a burning house. Well, what do you mean by this? Well, look at Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. What is one appointment we all will keep without exception? death. We all have that appointment. So, in a very real sense, we are living in a burning house. It's just a matter of when it's going to burn down. But how would you list the things in your priorities? Consider this. Where on your priority list do you put your job? Or if you're a student, your school. Where do you put prayer? Where do you put worship? Where do you put entertainment? Where do you put personal evangelism? Where do you put Bible study? Where do you put rest? And where do you put food? Have you ever thought about these things? Have you ever given them careful consideration? I'm going to pose a question here. And I want you to think about this. What if you had 24 hours to live? 24 hours. Reminds me of a song that was popular several years back. Live like you were dying. Well, I already preached a sermon on that, and I'll let that stand. But I want you to think about this. What if you only had 24 hours to live? There would be some things that you would consider very unimportant if you only had 24 hours. Such things as your job, your schooling. Don't think you'd go to work on that day. Wouldn't even give a second thought to it. You wouldn't seek out entertainment. There would be no football on TV. No sports leagues. No resting or eating. Why? I am dying. I am dying. And my time has to count. There are some other things that you would consider very important. Some may pray more on this day than they have any day in the past month. If you're not a Christian, you would want to become one. So you'd have the privilege of prayer. Acts 2 and verse 37 and 38, we find out that people on Pentecost, when they were told what they must do to be saved, they were told to repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, once you've done that, what would you pray for? Well, you'd probably be conscious of all your bad habits you've got. And you'd be praying God to forgive you for all those bad habits. You'd pray God to forgive you for missed opportunities. But you'll find out whenever you only got 24 hours to live that no one ever says, I don't know how to pray. You know how to pray. You know how to pray. Worship service would take on a very deep meaning. And indeed, you wouldn't miss anything, any assembly of the saints on this day. In fact, you may want to just stay there and not go home. We would get a lot more meaning out of singing. We understand the importance of singing praises to God. But this speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs would be important to you. The Lord's Supper, as we just observed, would be something that you would find deep meaning in. The preaching would be something you would deem important because you would want to get all you could out of it. the giving or the laying by in store would be important to you. You would realize that you want to do everything you possibly could do in service to your God. There'd be no clock watching on this day, no daydreaming or playing around with children. Personal work would take on tremendous urgency for you. You would want to work with your family and friends, but you realize there's not enough time. You deal with grudges that you have been nursing. You know that the Lord says you must forgive men their trespasses or God won't forgive you. Bible study is very important, but not as important as doing the things that are necessary for the day. This takes something that you don't have. And what is it? Time. 24 hours, that's all you've got. 24 hours. You'll be rushing to others to find out what you never tried before and whether it will work or not to teach them the gospel. But you realize that 24 hours really presents you with a desperate situation. And very few people really know they've got 24 hours. But what if you had 7 days to live? Well, you'd have more time to make a difference. The same things will be unimportant to you. But your priorities will change in those things that are very important. Bible study will move to the top of your list. You have time now, not only for learning, but for application. You would be active in personal work as never before. No longer would you sit on the sidelines with the lost or with others who are not doing the work. You'll find great joy in this work. Why haven't I done this before? You will not fail to worship with Christians on Wednesday night. In fact, you will be with Christians in their homes to study and to pray. You'll find out your life has never been richer and closer to God. But what if you had a year? What if you had a whole year? Now you have time for radical changes in very important areas. Worship now moves to the top of the list. Those who worship in time become like God, and you want to be that way. You want to have perfect attendance. No longer is it hit and miss when I get around to it. You will be there every time the door opens. In fact, you'll be opening the door. In personal work, you'll truly have an influence on many in that space of this year that you have. In Bible study, you will have gained tremendously. In fact, you may have even reached a point that you might qualify as an elder or a deacon. You may be preaching or teaching classes. Others will be coming to you for Bible answers. In your prayer life, you will have influenced many. They will observe you and they will watch you and they will learn by what you've done. There will be things that become mildly important to you. The things that become mildly important will be such things as your job. You're not prioritizing your job. You're simply doing your job to the best of your ability. And that's what Paul teaches us. He says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, "Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You'll be doing that. And people will notice. But the other areas will still remain unimportant. Unimportant. Now, what is your life about? Why do men let these unimportant things get in their way? Well, let's consider one more situation. What if you only had 20 years to live? Now, I know that's stretching it for some of us. You know, I'm not in a position to sign any 30-year mortgages, let's put it that way. But what if you only had 20 years? What if you had 20 years? Well, the worldly man would think right away, well, that's 2039 now. Oh, man, that's a long time off. But what kind of priorities do worldly people put on this? Look what they do. I must keep seeking to make the most money I possibly can make in my job. I've got 20 years. And for most of you, that probably means retirement. And so I got to put all the money I can away. And then someone says, no, I need time for entertainment. And you know, weekends are all I've got. I have to work hard all week. And when the weekend comes, that's when I have to enjoy entertainment. So you know what that means? Got no time for God. And that's the way many people live. That's the way they live. And another man comes along and says, look, I need time for resting and eating. And, I mean, when I get home from work, I gotta rest and I gotta eat. I'm tired. I got no time for this Bible study business. It's funny how our priorities change when we think we got a lot of time. When we think we have a lot of time. And then, of course, the man comes along and says, one prayer a day is plenty. I pray to God once a day, and that's over 20,000 times in 20 years. And that ought to do. And that's the way the worldly man thinks. Bible study, worship, giving have little or no meaning. Yet the man says, oh, I love Jesus just as much as the next man. I love Jesus. But you know, that personal work is just, that's for someone else. That's for someone else to do. That's not for me. Well, let's consider some mistakes that are made in this series. We do not know how much time we have. We don't know if it's 24 hours, if it's a day, if it's a week, or if it's 20 years. We have no way of calculating it. Now, what should we do about this? Well, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, I want to read from the words of the Apostle Paul here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly well that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night or of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. What is he saying here? What is he saying? He's telling us that we must live each day as if it is our last. I can't say, well, I'm going to do something about that tomorrow. I haven't got tomorrow for sure. So what do I do? Well, I take care of it now. So that poses a question. Are you ready to die? No, I don't mean this minute. Because obviously we're still here. But what about this day? If this day on earth should be your last, are you prepared to die? That's not a ridiculous question. That's very pertinent. In Revelation chapter 20, John is relating what he saw here in the vision. And he says, I saw the dead, great and small, standing before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Now, when's that day? When is it? We don't know. It could be any time. Well, what can we do about it? Well, it's kind of like the preparation that we make for someone to come in and rob us. We don't know when or if people are going to break into our house and try to steal from us. So when do we get ready for it? Oh, I'll wait till next week to get ready. I'll wait till next year. No, we don't. We get ready right now. Why? Because we don't know when it's going to happen. Now, with that same mindset, we have to look at judgment as a very real thing. When will it come? We don't know. So when do we get ready? Right now. And we make sure that we keep ourselves ready because we don't know when it's going to come. Well, what can I do about it? Well, quite simply, we have to do what Jesus said. Jesus told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. Now, what position do we want to be in when the day of judgment comes? Saved. What do we have to do? We have to believe and be baptized to be saved. That's what Jesus said. Those are his words. Mark 16, verse 15, 16. Those are his words. Now, have you done such? Have you done that? Well, if you haven't, the fact of the matter is, you aren't ready to die. You aren't ready to die. And if you've done that, but unfortunately you have not remained faithful in service to him, you're not ready to die either. He expects you to be faithful to him, to do his will, to teach others. The question is yours. Are you ready to die? If you're not, you need to do something about it.